Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. And today we're going to talk about Jesus, the great divider. We don't normally think about Jesus this way. So hopefully I've piqued your interest and you stay with me till the end. As we do, I'll let you know how to support the podcast. You can go to www.patreon.com/Christianity Now, and you can support the podcast for as little as $1 a month. Christianity Now is a podcast brand that Aaron Dotson and myself started. That's all I've got to say about that. You can also do a one-time donation at www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now. And you can click the QR code, or scan rather, the QR code here, and you will be taken right there. And whether you do Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee, you will be added to the email list, and we will be having announcements, news, added value content, and every time I release something, it'll ping to your email. So I'm kind of excited about that. That's an option I didn't know we had available. All right, so we're getting that off the screen, going to chat. Hello, Mike, Lizzie, good afternoon. And incidentally, for those of you that are rolling in, if you would share the podcast, that would be great. And be sure and subscribe to the podcast at Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and some other places that Podbean shares this podcast. Now, let's talk about Jesus, the great divider. Before we get there, let's go to the book of Ephesians and notice something. We typically don't think about Jesus the great divider. We think about Jesus the great uniter, because it is true that God intended to reconcile everything in heaven and earth in one location, and that's in Christ. All right, we go to Ephesians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 10. Yeah, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So the location of this reconciliation, the location of this unity is Christ. It's in the boundary of Christ Jesus. Now, just as an aside, how do you get into Christ? Well, there's only one act in the whole New Testament that is described as putting one into Christ, and that's baptism. So just then, as an aside, and this doesn't have anything to do with the podcast, I find this debate about whether or not baptism is necessary for salvation a weird kind of argument to have. But let's talk about this idea. Obviously, there's unity in Christ Jesus, and God sent Jesus to earth for a purpose. Listen to this. I'm going to read Romans chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Holy Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Verse 11, listen to this, let it punch home. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Folks, this was God's eternal purpose. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1, whenever the scriptures state, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God brooded upon the waters. Before he said, let there be light, it was his purpose to reconcile all of his creation in one location in Christ Jesus. So there is a sense in which Jesus is the great reconciler. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, you can even read that the Apostle Paul talks about, we have been given this ministry of reconciliation. We are to serve reconciliation. You can read at the end of Romans chapter 12 how Paul admonishes that we live, as inasmuch as lieth in us, we live at peace with all men. We are not to be divisive for the sake of being divisive. We are to serve reconciliation, and we are to live at peace inasmuch as lieth in us. There's something to consider, though. You know, I think of the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's in Matthew chapter 5. And then I think in the book of James, James writes about wisdom that is first pure. And this is wisdom that's from above, by the way. It's first pure, then it's peaceable. So it's not just that we have peace and unity. We have to have peace and unity within the parameters of Christ Jesus. That means that peace and unity is contingent upon certain things. We cannot be unified or at peace with something that is wrong. That's not how this works. And that is why we can read in the gospel accounts, when Jesus was on earth, he was sent to his own people first, and they rejected him. We read that in the book of John, chapter 1. We see this very interesting exchange. Listen. Well, actually, I'm gonna lick my finger and turn left, and I'm gonna start reading in verse 37 of Luke, chapter 12. Listen to this. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them set down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Well, then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master will make rule over his household and give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, My master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and to drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For every one to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to him whom has been committed of him, they will ask, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. Folks, he's talking to the Jewish people about the Jewish people. And without getting too deep into it, those faithful Jews who were followers of Jesus Christ were watching and were ready for the coming of the dreaded day of judgment that would be the destruction of Jerusalem. But if you were an unwise and unfaithful servant, you would not be watching, you would not be paying attention to the signs, and the Son of Man is going to come at an hour when you don't expect, and an hour that you're not watching for, and he's going to catch you off guard. This actually happened. Josephus, the historian, talks about the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus, the Roman general and son of the emperor Vespasian. And he talks about how no follower of Christianity was harmed because they all got out of the city. According to the scriptures, they could watch and read the signs, and they would have been able to get out of the city. So we have a secular historian telling us that none of them died, and in the scriptures we have a reason why, because they were faithful. But woe unto those servants when the Lord comes, he does not find faithful. Listen to this. Listen to verse 49. And Jesus is talking about what he has come to do. Verse 49. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I come to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Folks, Jesus came for a dual purpose. Jesus came to punish the unfaithful and to reward the righteous. Specifically to the Hebrews, the Jews in the first century, this reward and punishment was preeminent. However, from our perspective, we are looking forward to a second coming where Jesus, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is going to come with the clouds. The dead are going to rise first. Those who are alive will rise up and meet Jesus in the air and there forever remain with him. According to the book of John, there will be a resurrection for the unrighteous, and that will be the resurrection unto destruction. And then death and Hades will be poured off into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone that we refer to as hell. And Jesus will have accomplished his purpose. There's going to be division and there's going to be unification. There's going to be division. There's going to be reconciliation. The first time Jesus came to the earth, when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, equally he brought reconciliation and division. And God is equally satisfied with either one. Let me give you a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is something that I remember being in the Memphis School of Preaching whenever Keith Mosier went over this in class. And even though he was just talking the simple words of the Bible, we had students in our class that couldn't handle it. They said, well, that can't be what that's mean. That means because God's not like that. To which my teacher replied, then you don't understand the nature of God, because God is satisfied. His justice is satisfied. His nature is satisfied at the reward of the righteous, and just as equally at the punishment of the wicked. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 63. I urge you to read the entirety of the chapter of Deuteronomy 28. But, and it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to nothing, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Folks, let me tell you, whenever God sent Jesus, God sent him for a purpose. Again, reconciliation, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, all things in heaven and earth in one, in Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, it was God's eternal purpose to reconcile both the Jew and the Gentile in Christ. It was his eternal purpose. However, the words that I have from my master, he's telling the people who are listening to his message, do you think that I came into the world to bring peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Why did Jesus say at the core of his purpose was division? Well, at the destruction of Jerusalem, the tares went into the fire. On the day of Pentecost, the messengers of God went out and separated the wheat from the tares. At the second coming of Jesus at the end of time, as described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's going to be a separation. I read in Matthew chapter 25, the sheep are going to be separated from the goats. The goats are going to go off into destruction that was prepared from the foundation of the world for Satan and his angels. And, I said that wrong. Let me backtrack. The sheep are going to go to life everlasting, and the goats are going to go to destruction. I hope I said that right in the first place. Anyway, so I'm going to tell you this, and this is just my cogitations. It's me thinking about this. Why so often, whenever I hear, and it's not just me, it's other people, they criticize people doing the work of the Lord, and they talk about, well, that person's a very divisive person. That person is hard to get along with. He's unmoving. He holds firm. He doesn't compromise. And so many times, once you have a conversation with the person that you've heard that about, you find out that the reason those accusations are being leveled is because the people who are leveling those accusations, they're the unrighteous servants. They're the ones who is taking advantage of congregations. They're the ones who are ruling the congregation as if it were theirs. They're the ones who are in sin. What do you think would, what kind of report do you think you would get if you went around to the people of Jesus' day? And let's say you stopped to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said, "Hey, I met this Jesus and I don't really like him. Tell me what you think of him." What would they tell you? How much could you trust? How much could you trust of what they said? Folks, it blows my mind when I hear these criticisms of people. And again, it's not just me. It's other people. And whenever they're criticized, they typically criticize them for acting exactly how Jesus acted, all the while these accusers are clutching their pearls and saying that person needs to be more like Jesus. That person doesn't exude the characteristics of Jesus. Whenever what I'm looking at is I see Jesus flipping tables, I see Jesus being sarcastic whenever he is told by the messenger of Herod to leave, and he said, "You go tell that fox, I'm going to keep doing what I was doing. I'm not doing it in the dark. I did it yesterday. I did it. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it again tomorrow." Jesus was not a weakling. Jesus was not a panty waste. And then I even go back to the prophets and I think about Jeremiah. Whenever God called Jeremiah, look at what he told Jeremiah. "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, to plant." Do you know what you have to do sometimes in a situation? You got to do what Jeremiah was commissioned to do. Sometimes you got to root out the problems because you know there's problems there. Sometimes you got to pull down the hierarchies or the power structures. Sometimes you have to destroy these traditions that are harming the congregation at large. And sometimes you got to throw down the establishment of the status quo. But once you do that, then you've got to build and plant. That's the job of a gospel preacher. And we have missed that. I think in any congregation, a gospel preacher should be a very formidable individual. Now, I've said this before, I'll say it 100 times again. In order to be dangerous, in order to be formidable, you don't have to be deadly. You just have to be willing to die. So if you're a gospel preacher and you're working at a work and you are standing against something that shouldn't be going on, do not for 1 minute compromise because some people are telling you, "Well, if you do this, you know, everybody's saying that you're hard to get along with. You know, everybody's saying you don't work well with others. You know, everybody's saying you're unapproachable." I think that's so funny. I've been told I'm unapproachable before. And I laughed and I said, "Well, I'm unapproachable, yet here you are." Evidently, I am approachable. So anyway, something to think about. Isn't it interesting how confession, allegiance to Jesus ties in with division of the world and Christians? And Deborah O'Neill says, "I wish we would read the Bible with some passion instead of deadpan." Yeah, Jesus spoke passionately many, many times. And I think a lot of times whenever we do read the Bible, we fall into the trap of kind of giving it a deadpan, unemotional reading. So, what's my point? What's my overarching theme here? You're going to be gospel preacher, man of God, woman of God, wherever you are, if you are doing what's right. The majority of people are not going to like you. Can you find a verse in Scripture that actually says, "Woe unto you when they speak good about you"? Think about that. In fact, that's in the book of Luke. I can't remember the chapter. Yeah, Luke chapter 6. Let's just go read it. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. I've been focusing on this for a while. Luke 6, 26. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. If all men are speaking well of you, then you're in an echo chamber. If all men speak well of you, then you're not standing for what is right. You're just going along to get along. You're nothing but a chameleon. Now, I love the times in my life where there have been peace. But there have also been times in my life where there have been great turmoil and upheaval. And every time in my life where there have been great turmoil and upheaval, it has been because I decided to do what is right in spite of the people telling me not to do it. And in spite of people encouraging me and begging and pleading with me, just take the easy route. When you have a choice between what is right and what is easy, always choose what is right. And you will garner the same amount of support that Jesus garnered. So you're in good company. Folks, that's all I've got. Remember, Jesus himself talked about being the divider. He said, "I came." You know what? We can end. I want to read that again. "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." That's pretty clear. Whenever we do what's right, we join ourselves to other people doing right. We align ourselves, we unify ourselves with other people doing right, and we divide ourselves from the people who refuse to do so. Always be one who is divisive, but make sure you stand for what is right, and you make sure that you are so immovable that you are willing to make somebody kill you in order to give up your beliefs and move off of your position. That's all I've got here, folks. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. I hope you, when you're disagreeing with others, let me get this comment. When you're disagreeing with others, how do you know it's just not yourself that's disagreeing? Can you give an example? Well, David, I could use some examples. You have to give diligence to the Word of God. and you have to be truthful. Yeah, so I don't know exactly what you're wanting or asking for. When you're disagreeing with others, how do you know it's just not yourself that's disagreeing? Well, when you're standing for what is right, then it's not just yourself. And in order to know what is right, you have to give diligence to the Word of God. So, yeah, that's about all I can say about that. On personal opinion. Well, if you split with somebody over personal opinion, then you're the problem. Because the Bible is clear on what is personal opinion and what is not. Like, for instance, having a tattoo, that's personal opinion. It's not legislated. So if you have a falling out with somebody over a tattoo and you're binding where God hasn't bound and you're not mature enough to let somebody enjoy their Christian liberty, then that issue is on you. But yeah, I can think of several examples. There was a congregation that I was a part of where there was a contingent in the congregation that was binding their scruples on another part of the congregation, and they were backbiting and whispering and being hypercritical and causing dissent, and they were ruling the congregation by proxy through the elders. The elders only wanted to satisfy the men, mankind, the people, and were less interested about what was right. And I talked to the elders on more than one occasion about it. And finally, publicly, and I did this with the authority of Scripture, publicly I called out the eldership. And of course, it didn't end well. They didn't like it, but I don't care. They were in sin, and they were allowing other people to be in sin because they were facilitating a culture of gossip and backbiting. Let me tell you something. If you have ever called somebody to find out something about somebody else and you don't repent of that sin, you're going to burn in hell for eternity. I'm going to repeat that. If you call somebody else to find out, if you call somebody rather to find out about somebody else, then you're going to burn in hell for eternity if you don't repent of that sin. And that runs rampant in the Church of Christ, especially in the Bible Belt. Runs rampant. I've had phone calls from brethren asking me about other people. By the time I get off the phone with that person, do you know what that person says about me to the next guy? That Tony's just mean-spirited, and he's divisive, and he's unloving. Well, of course you'd think I was mean-spirited, divisive, and unloving, because when you called me to ask about so-and-so, I told you that you were in sin, and I was going to call the person and tell them that you're trying to find out stuff about them, and I'm going to call you by name, and you're gossiping, and you're going to hell until you repent. So, of course, you're going to think that I'm unloving and unkind. But what do you think Jesus would do in that situation? That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That's right, Deborah. Ask them yourself. You know, whenever I was down in the South in the Bible Belt, and I was in contact with a bunch of different Christians from a bunch of different churches, I'd get asked about people. And I so loved it when I had their phone number, because all I'd do is I would take my phone and I'd be like, okay, hold on just a second. And I'd go into my contacts and I would hit call on while it's on speaker. And the person would be like, what are you doing? I was like, well, you asked me about so-and-so. I've got his number and I'm calling him. There's no reason to ask me. I'm just going to let you ask him. I was unloving and unkind and mean and divisive. Well, thank you. Thank you for describing me the way people who commit, who are in sin, have described Jesus for ages. All right, that's all I've got. I think you get the point. Make sure that you stand on the side of right. I hope this podcast has been profitable to you. I pray it's been pleasing to God. Remember, if you like what we do, you can support me and Aaron Dotson and support us as podcasters. You can go to www.patreon.com/Christianity Now. You can go to www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now. And your support on either one of those platforms gets you on the mailing list, where when we put out a post on either of those platforms, it pings your email. So that would be awesome. Listen, be sure and subscribe on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you for your comments. Had a good crowd in the live stream today. Be sure and follow us, Cogitations, 2x2, Christianity Now, or even follow me on my personal account. I don't send me a friend request, though, because I won't accept it. You can follow me over there, though. This has been Tony Brew with Cogitations, and we'll catch you on the flip side.